guests today. I want to say thank you for coming. Some of you came with family that invited you, and so if you're out of town, we're just honored you came to be with us. If you're from Wilmington, you came to visit, we also want to welcome you, invite you back sometime. I want to start out with scripture that makes complete sense for Christmas, Luke chapter 2:10, and it says, I bring you good news. Don't you love good news? Don't you love good news? I love good news. Love it. It says it'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. It says you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby who is wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, I love this, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Amen. I was just thinking about Jesus, the Savior was born. Jesus, the one who rescues men and women from their sin. Amen. Jesus, the one who freed us from our bondages. Jesus, the one who heals men and women of their affliction. Jesus, the one who will strengthen you in your difficulties, the one who will fight your battles. It's Jesus, the good news. He'll bring great joy because he is the Savior of our world. He's your Savior. Why don't you stand up for a moment and give Jesus the praise, the glory he deserves. Come on, give him what he deserves. Come on, come on. It's Jesus today. He's so good. Jesus. Love it, love it. While you're standing for just a moment, I want to speak to us today about the thrill of hope. The thrill of hope. It's a good classic Christmas carol. Some of you are familiar with A Thrill of Hope, A Weary World Rejoices. And I don't know what your situation has been for 2017. I don't know if you've been part of that weary world. I don't know if it's been a hard year. Maybe you've had a great year. But I want you to know this, that God is up to something in your life.
Amen.
His last chapter hasn't been written about you yet. He's not finished. There's hope. Some of you may be thinking, well, it was really hard. I want to say to you that sometimes God answers prayers with an acorn instead of an oak tree. And what I mean by that is sometimes he plants a seed that at one point will bear fruit or grow into the promise that he gave to you. And right now you're carrying an acorn. I want to say that many times God just uses one year to prepare you for the next. And if you've been given an acorn this year and you're thinking it's been hard, I want you to know that it's almost springtime and God has a better 2018 ahead for you. God's up to something. Come on, church. He's up to something. He's at work. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Jesus who was born to bring us hope. And for those who are weary today, I pray that what I share stirs their hearts for hope. Lord, I pray for those who are traveling that are part of Life CC, God, that you would place your angels about them. Grant them great patience in the car and with their families and in-laws this year, Lord. And Father, we ask that you'd help me with the word today, that I'd preach it in boldness. And Lord, we thank you for the reason of Christmas. Is Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, do me a favor on your way down. Kind of fist bump two or three people and tell them, I have hope this year. Say, I have hope. Come on. So there's this tradition at Life Community Church. I don't know if any of you have been here long enough to know the tradition. I put pressure on myself to tell jokes every Christmas Eve. And I always fail miserably. And so I ask you to laugh in spite of me, because I will laugh at myself, and that's okay. So every year. So if next year you come back, I'll tell some of the same jokes and I'll pretend they're funny and you will too. But let me ask you a question. How many of you parents, though, have one of those pictures with your child sitting on Santa's lap and they're screaming their heads off? How many parents have that picture? It's a hilarious picture. There's a condition, it's called claustrophobic. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, Harriet and I have never planted a garden. We're not garden people. Santa's not a garden person because he doesn't like to ho, ho, ho all the time either. Only once a year. I heard Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus got a cat this year. We have any cat people in here? Yeah, a couple of you. They named him Santa Claus. Or cat, Santa Claus. How many students are glad that school's out for a little bit? We got happy kids in the house. And have you got your report cards? You know, Rudolph, he made an F this year. He did. He failed one of his classes. It actually happened. Rudolph went down in history. Come on! I know. My jokes, they slay you, don't they? Come on, give me a Santa Claus. Come on. Yeah. Okay. All right. A thrill of hope. Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope. Isn't that amazing? Against all hope. So what is hope? Let me share with you what biblical hope is, because it's completely different than the way our society approaches hope. Outside of these walls, hope is something you just kind of wish for. It's just like you hope that something happens. It's like, I hope I get something for Christmas that I want. I just hope. Maybe you hope it rains or it doesn't rain. But there's just no real control over that kind of hope. It's just hope. It isn't grounded by something that has authority to make something happen. It's a genuine expression, but it's a powerless statement just to say, I just hope it happens. But a biblical hope is significantly different. A biblical hope is the joyful anticipation for good. It is that excited condition that is within you before something happens. Biblical hope has significance because it's anchored to a faithful covenant-keeping God. A God that keeps His promise. So you're not just hoping by the way the society does, you're hoping based on who God is and His promises. You know, anyone can have hope in the middle of breakthrough in your life. Like when everything's going great and you're just like everything's happening, you're like, oh, I'm full of hope. Biblical hope has the ability to stand when things aren't going well. What makes hope profound is that when you're right in the middle of hard circumstances that are fighting against hope, against all hope, right in the middle of that, when those circumstances are speaking defeat, inside you're speaking victory because you serve a victorious God. You're speaking victory. It's like in the circumstances around you, they're denying the promises that God has given you. But those who have biblical hope don't look at the circumstances. And we begin to say, God, I trust You, I believe You, and I think my hope is coming because it's grounded to God, a promise-keeping God. We serve a God who has this reputation for breakthroughs. You read through the New Testament, all through. He heals every sickness He comes in touch with. We serve a God of breakthrough. Your hope comes from that God today. Biblical hope is anchored to a faithful God. In the book of Romans, where we just read, the Apostle Paul was teaching us about Abraham. Abraham was a person that was dealing with impossible situations, and they were weighing him down. Impossible, difficult situations tend to weigh on us. If you've been there, you feel it. You know, it weighs you down. God gave Abraham this promise, though, that he would be the father of many nations and that he would have a son named Isaac. And through that lineage, that God would birth a nation that would be a godly nation and be blessed. The difficulty for Abraham was that when God gave him this promise, Abraham was almost 100 years old and his wife was almost 90 years old. They were way, way, way past childbearing age. But God promised something, and the circumstances in front of them were denying them of what God said. They were saying to them, this is too hard, it'll never happen, this is impossible. But God made a promise, and that's why in Romans 4:18 it says, against all hope, against all the circumstances, against what the circumstances would say about their natural circumstances, it says, Abraham, in hope, believed. In spite of the circumstances. And so it says, he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring shall be. And here's how he did it, without weakening his faith. He faced the fact. Everybody say, face the fact.
Face the fact.
He faced the fact of his circumstances, that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. So, it says he did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. When circumstances speak, they deny you of God's promise. Maybe when God promised you healing and it's not yet here. Circumstances. Maybe when God promised you a great marriage, but right now it's a mess. Maybe when God promised you a spouse and you haven't even been on a date in a year. Maybe when you're needing a job and nothing seems to open. How many of you could say that, and don't even raise your hand because it probably fits all of us, but how many inside would answer this question, that there is something, some situations and circumstances that are weighing down your hope? If that's you, just recognize it. I remember one time Bailey was in the car with Harriet, and this slow song came on, and Bailey said, you know, Mom, that song's bringing me down. Sometimes there are things that try to bring us down, the circumstances. But here's what happened. Abraham, it says, faced the facts. He recognized what was going on. Hope doesn't deny the situation. Hope doesn't ignore the circumstance. Hope faces the fact and chooses to have faith anyway in God. And if you're in that place of being weighed down by your circumstances, you face them, you face the facts, but you make a choice. Today, I choose to worship God, believe in Him. You know, one of the things that shifts your hope, that helps shift your circumstances, is praise. Praise does that. When you praise God, it shifts your perspective. Because we serve this magnificent, glorious God, and our problems in light of Him begin to seem smaller. Sometimes we praise God out of celebration, but sometimes we praise Him out of a sacrifice of praise. And praise helps us to see God in a light that helps us. If you're taking a few notes today, you can write this thought down. Hope faces the fact and chooses to focus his or her faith on God. You see, facts are like seeds that are sown into your life. Sometimes the doctor gives you a bad report. Sometimes your job has come to an end. Things have happened, and facts are always screaming. You know, I've found that facts tend to scream louder than faith at times. And so we've got to position our mind. But what happens in these seeds that come into our heart, because it creates fear inside of us, and fear is the opposite of hope. When you become fearful, you begin to see like nothing's going to work out. I can't make it. And the result of fear is always hopelessness. But our hope, when we anchor it to God, isn't hopelessness. It's not just a wish. We know we have a God who promises and fulfills the promises. And we stand on that. Abraham, in verse 21, said he was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. He was fully persuaded that God had the power. He had the ability and authority. Abraham's hope wasn't like society's hope that's outside of these walls. It wasn't a hope that just said, I wish this happens. It wasn't that. It was grounded to the anchor. And this is what Hebrews 6:18 says. It says, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. A hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Followers of Jesus hold on to the hope that God has the power to do what he promised. We have this joyful anticipation. It's a thrill of hope because we hang on to a hope that God is the God that breaks through and fulfills his promises. Our hope is anchored on God. It's not hope anchored on what I can do. It's not hope is not anchored to anything, but biblical hope is anchored to God who fulfills his promises. If God said it to you, if God promised it, then that word carries the creative power to see it accomplished. It carries the power within it. Any area of your life that has no hope is under the influence of a lie. Any area of your life that is hopeless is under the influence of a lie, because God would not put you in a hopeless situation, because he is full of hope. He's a promise-keeping God. And so if there's an area of your life that you seem hopeless in, then you need to shift your perspective. You need to begin to say, no, my God is a promise-keeping God, and I'm going to have hope in every area of my life. Hope is based on the power that he can do what he promised. Abraham was fully persuaded of this. And it says that in this confidence, in that persuasion, that he knew that God would do it, it says that Abraham began to worship and he praised God. But he began to praise God before the promise came. And so while the worship team steps up here, and I'm going to close with the thought here about him praising God and what he did. Let me just share this with you. Because in verse 20 it says, he did not waver. He said he didn't waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God. So his circumstances were fighting against him, but he didn't waver. But what he did is he strengthened his faith and he gave glory to God. In the midst of the circumstances that were pushing back, he began to give glory to God. He began to praise God before anything happened as a declaration that I trust my God, I believe God. If you're going through that hard place, we need to be like Abraham and say, God, I'm going to praise you even before it gets here. I'm going to lift your name up. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have a joyful anticipation. You see, worship ought to be joyful because it's a declaration of what God can do in and through your life. It's a joyful anticipation. If you're walking around heavy from the circumstances, then you're putting more of your focus on the circumstances than God. And worship begins to shift that to where you say, God, you are worthy. You are amazing. And so what Abraham did is he worshiped and he gave glory to God. Now, I was thinking about this and I thought it's kind of interesting that he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. I was wondering if he walked around his house and, you know, was singing glory, glory, glory in some way. I won't demonstrate how he could do that because we have a worship team that can do that better than I can. But did he worship around the house? I would say he did. He probably worshiped. I'm encouraging to do that. But I think there's something more significant to the thought here. How did he have the wherewithal? How did he have it in him to say, God, in this circumstance, I'm 100 years old, but you promised I'm going to praise. How did he get to that? What was it? And maybe when you understand what the word glory means, it might help. Because how do you praise God when the facts are against you? How do you do that? How do you praise God when your bank account is empty? How do you praise God when the doctor gives you a bad report? How do you praise God when you miss some opportunity? How do you do it? If you understand the word in Hebrew from glory, the word in Hebrew is kabod, K-A-B-O-D. And the original translation of the word kabod for glory is weight. Weight. And what it meant was is people would give the full weight of who God was. They were expressing his full weight, the full measure, the weight of who he was. They were comprehending in glimpses the weight, the magnificence of God, the weight of God. And so what he began to do is he began to give glory. He began to give weight. He began to put weight into who God was. And what happened, church, is I want you to catch this. So important. What Abraham did is he put more weight in God than the weight of the circumstances. More weight in God than the weight of the circumstances. Hope always puts more weight in God than the weight of the circumstances. And that's why in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote it like this. This is so cool. I love how things come together. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, church. I don't know what you're going through. Don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, outwardly. Circumstances are pressing in on us. Circumstances are trying to defeat us and deny us of God's promise. Outwardly, we're wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. We're having hope every day. Things on the outside are bad. Inside, I have hope. And Paul wrote it like this, for our light, not heavy, our light and momentary troubles. Paul called the troubles light. How would you be able to call it light? He says, by achieving for us an eternal glory way that outweighs them all. In other words, God outweighs every problem you have. When you anchor your hope to God, then it outweighs the problems in your life. Abraham began to let God outweigh his circumstances, and as a result, in God's timing, Abraham became father of many nations. His promise came. Hope always has more faith in the God who lives inside of us than the circumstances that are around us. So hope is this joyful anticipation. It's Christmas. We celebrate the birth. There was an anticipation for hundreds and hundreds of years, prophesied that a coming Messiah would come. And he was born to you and I to fulfill the promise. And the fact that Jesus was born means that we can carry within us, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can carry within you that anticipation for good. That anticipation, joyful anticipation, that God will fulfill his promises. Amen, church? Amen. Hey, let me have your attention just for a few last moments. For just a moment, I want to give every person an opportunity today to receive Jesus as their Savior. Because without Jesus, you can't carry that hope. Without Jesus, you carry hope like the society. You just kind of wish for things. Like, I hope this works out. I hope it rains. I hope it snows. I hope it doesn't. Whatever. But you don't have something that anchors it. But when you give your life to Jesus and you accept him as your Savior, then the Savior, the anticipation that had been anticipated lives inside of you. And it gives you the ability to have a joyful, joyful anticipation. Without Jesus, we don't carry that. In Romans 5:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, see, God's the source of all hope, it says, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Why? It says, because you trust in him. You trust him. If you don't know Christ today as your Savior, I want to invite you to trust him today as your Savior. It's Christmas. What a great season for you to have an opportunity to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want him to be my Savior. He's the source of hope. There are many of you here today that have probably never made a decision to receive Jesus, to believe in Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you've been to church for some period of time. Maybe you go at Christmas and Easter, and that's awesome. But today, instead of it being just something you attend, how about Jesus comes to live inside of you this year? That it becomes a year that you never forget because of Christ. Maybe you're a good person, and maybe you've done nice things, and all those are great things. But if you've never trusted Jesus, you don't carry the hope of the world, Jesus, in your life. And so today I want to give you that opportunity. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Father, I thank you for Christmas, and thank you for Jesus. He was born to bring us hope. But God, without us receiving it, then it's of no use to us today. And God, I pray for those who have never believed in Jesus as their Savior, that today they would choose Jesus today. With every head bowed, I wonder if there are people here that say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ today. What I'm going to do is, while every head is bowed, I'm going to just count to three. And if you want to just have a conversation with you and I for this moment, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand just as a way of saying, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. I'm choosing Jesus today. And And so when I count to three, if you want to choose Jesus, you want to believe in Jesus, trust in him for your Savior, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand on the count of three. If that's you, one, I just want you to raise them up so I can see. Two, I don't want to miss your chance. This is your day. Three, are you here and you want to raise your hands? And Pastor, I see those hands. I see them. Raise your hand high if you want to say yes, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Hey, we're going to all say this prayer out loud together. You can put your hand down. Let's just pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He's the reason we have hope. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sin. Today, I am a believer in Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen, church. Would you stand to your feet and celebrate that today? Come on, stand up.